Well, this could be one of those rare occasions where I have some good news to share for a change. You want to stay tuned.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, for a change, I've got a handful of stories that are a bit encouraging. Not totally, but enough to be worth sharing with you. And it pretty well dovetails with what I believe for many, many months now, that we might be coming into a time of a reprieve. Now, I still don't believe we're going to, quote, change the United States or Canada or any other nation, Germany, Europe. We're not going to change everything for the good and have happy times or here again forever and ever. But I do believe we're about to come into a period of time where there may be a little bit more peace, a little bit more sanity, and a little bit more opportunity for those that are paying attention to what is happening all over the world today. And I also believe a lot of truth is going to be just dropped like a bomb all across the globe. And there'll be consequences for those that lied, for those that pushed for things they should never have pushed for. And the pushback from the people when they are awakened is going to be huge. Will it last a year? Will it last 2 or 4 years? I don't know. It won't last a decade, I can promise you that. But I do believe we're about to come into a time, sincerely, of great opportunity that we better take advantage of. Now, also on the program today, I've got a major announcement that I've got to give you, and I'll give it in just a little bit. I'll give it a couple of times in the program. It regards the direction and the future of this radio program. You've heard me talk for quite a while now about wondering what to do with Truth to Ponder. And I've been reaching out to family and friends and in prayer to God, what should I do? I feel like I've hit a crossroad and I need to make a decision. And after a lot of prayer and consultation, I now have a plan going forward, and I will share that with you in just a little bit. Now, right now, I'm trying to decide where to start. I think I'll start a little story. I'm not going to get into a lot of depth on this one. I don't think I need to, especially for those that have listened to this program since its very beginning in the summer of 2020. Back then, there were a couple of big news stories that wouldn't go away, and it drove most of this radio program. Of course, the pandemic, the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, and of course, the upcoming 2020 election here in the United States took up an exorbitant amount of my time. And we were all, this is, and once again, in 2020, there was no vaccine. That hadn't come about yet. We were still dealing with how we were responding to COVID. And I was sharing story after story that the mainstream media would totally ignore. And social media would try to scrub or make disappear or vanish. And yet everything we were saying then turned out to be true today. The narrative and the knowledge has definitely shifted over time. Go back with me 4 years ago. This is now not that many months away from the 2020 election. People are still, we have these waves of COVID, so we are told. You know, we have infections going up, infections going down, infections going up. Put on your face diaper, social distance some more, walk one way in a grocery store. Don't go to any public places and stay away from a church. It's the last place you want to be. And we were told to trust the science. And over in Sweden, they didn't pay attention to what Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and a bunch of the other clowns here in the United States and around the globe, and, you know, Tedros at the World Health Organization, all the communist collaborators of COVID. These people were, they're deadly. They're dangerous, if you hadn't figured it out. And we were told, and I can remember Fauci saying, "Yeah, you'll never get a vaccine. They did Operation Warp Speed. It's never going to work." Of course, he was lying then. He already knew there was one in the can years ago. I mean, he had been investing in all this stuff. He was a liar, which is nothing new to me or you if you listen to this radio program. Sweden decided to not go the route of locking everything down. In other words, this online learning nonsense that has destroyed students for years and is just literally, pardon the way I use the term, has retarded their development. In other words, they'd slowed it down because they were sitting at home with their Game Boys and their Zoom online learning nonsense and learned nothing. And parents were being told not to watch what your kids are seeing. We can't reveal that we're talking about transgenderism and gay sex and everything but reading, writing, and arithmetic. That kind of came out, too, during that time. I think a few parents got very wise to what the system was doing. Well, Sweden said, we're not doing it. And so they just opened everything up. You could go to the stores. You could go to school, you could go to college, you could go to church. Not that that many really go to church anymore in Sweden, but still you could. And overall, their outcomes were far better than the United States or Canada or Great Britain or any other place. They just treated it like the flu. That's all they did. And a lot of people didn't even bother to wear face diapers over there. I'm not going to wear it. I mean, after all, what's it really going to do? Even Dr. Fauci had admitted early on, right before the beginning days of the pandemic, that, you know, a face diaper really doesn't do anything for a pandemic and worthless for a virus. And I will just give you a comparison of size. A face mask is pretty good at dealing with bacteria, and they are worn in hospitals by nurses and staff and surgeons to keep bacteria out of a sterile field during surgery or spreading bacterial, you know, infections to patients. That's why they are worn from the wearer to the other person. They don't protect you at all, really, from a virus because bacteria, let's say a bacteria is the size of a football field, okay? Bacteria that the face mask can stop is the size of a football field. Based on what the scientists tell us, the virus is about the size of a football, not a football field. It's quite a bit of difference there, isn't there? And that's a huge difference. And so these face diapers, the studies now show that if anything, it actually slightly by a couple of percent elevated your risk of getting COVID if you're a faithful face diaper wearer. So that was another lie that was being perpetuated. And we discussed those. We also discussed at the time hydroxychloroquine. And I had learned back in April of 2020, when still working in emergency management, I came across an accidental treasure trove of documents at the CDC website because of a typo on my part. I was typing in SARS-CoV-2, which is what everybody was told this thing is, and somehow my finger slipped, and I didn't catch it when I typed it. I typed in SARS-CoV-1, not -2. And all of a sudden, it took me to a repository of documents dating back to 2004 and 2005. Apparently, COVID, a coronavirus, this was not our first rodeo. And a lot of people died from a coronavirus. And you realize when you start to study, and I'm reading and download, I'd have this treasure trove. I started to go through it. People that were compromised or elderly. In other words, healthy people were not being struck down. But a lot of people died that were compromised that would have died from a regular flu or just about anything else they're not in good health, and it doesn't take much to push somebody over the edge. And in all the studies that they did, and all the work that they did, and all the scientists, which didn't have a political agenda at the time, they discovered, from past experience with other similar diseases like malaria and other things, that hydroxychloroquine was very effective in lowering the symptoms and saving many lives. And there was no remdesivir, there were no ventilators, there was none of this stuff that the CDC came out with in 2020 as the only protocol that these now corporately owned hospitals were permitted to use. Back then, the CDC highly recommended that we keep a stockpile of hydroxychloroquine in the event there's ever a corona-type virus outbreak in the United States, or anywhere in the world for that matter, because of its effectiveness. Doctors that understood that, and this is in the CDC documentation in the afterwash, years of study, it's all there. And it magically vanished later when it started being pushed heavily by people like Donald Trump and many other commentators, including like Laura Ingraham over at Fox. And there were many that started to talk about hydroxychloroquine. One of my friends who worked for the United States Army in a high-ranking position dealing with chemical and biological warfare, also, when I asked him about what I had found, absolutely backed it up, saying that this was part of his training when it came to these kind of viruses. So why were we not doing it? I think it's because the deep state had a desired outcome of a lot of people dying and a crisis. They needed to manufacture and up the crisis. I can remember the videos in early 2020. Some of you can too, from China. Somebody just walking casually down the street and dropping dead of coronaviruses, and then suddenly the hazmat team appears and carries the corpse away. All that was a big fat lie. People were scared to death of the numbers that came out of the Imperial College of how many people were going to die. Cities planned for thousands upon thousands of excess deaths that never happened. I spent a lot of money because of my work in emergency management being told to preparing extra hospital space, never used. In fact, the hospital was virtually empty. They just didn't have anybody there. The nurses had plenty of time to rehearse their dance routines to put on TikTok and Facebook. And then, of course, the temporary morgues using refrigerated trucks and generators hidden out in the woods, not a one got used. The Mercy ship, New York Harbor, not used. Jacobs Javits Center to handle thousands of COVID patients, never used. It was all a lie. Yet the mainstream media kept pumping up the lie and pointing to Trump. Trump, you're killing people. You're killing people. It was the CDC that did that. They came up with protocols that I believe to this day should put somebody in prison for the rest of their life, if not facing the death penalty for what they knowingly did. Remdesivir destroys the kidneys. You know, a lot of people, and we've interviewed people on this program, that almost died or had relatives die because of COVID protocols, died of kidney failure while in a coma on a ventilator taking remdesivir. The hospitals killed these people. I'm sorry, there's no other way around it. I feel very vindicated in what we said back then, that there was something that didn't smell right. And they didn't care how many, the collateral damage of older people dying in nursing homes was just that, acceptable collateral damage for a political and globalist agenda, and a deep state agenda as well. Your grandmother or uncle or some relative or father or mother that died was acceptable collateral damage to these demonically possessed and evil, just disgusting people. Now, another story. Remember, the vaccines magically appeared after the election. Of course, you could never let Trump get the credit for the, even though they're garbage, but the idea that they came out, you know, right after the election, even though they knew and they were ready with the announcement in October, You know, that was all politics from this, from everybody involved, FDA, CDC, all of them. And they should be held accountable for interfering with an election. That's what they did. So did 51 intelligence officers that knew Hunter Biden's laptop was the real deal and lying about it. They should lose their security clearances and face at least 20 to 25 years without parole in a federal prison for what they did in interfering with an election and, you know, misusing their positions of authority. Now, here comes a little story. And I'm not going to get too deep into this because I've got a lot of other ground to cover today. But this comes out of Germany. Now, Germans can be very fastidious people when it comes to documentation, and you know, they count how many leftover hairs are in a hairbrush, for crying out loud. They can do research on that. They started wondering about excess deaths in recent years, especially in 2022 and then going into 2023. If you look at the excessive deaths in Germany in 2020, they're very negligible. In 2021, when the vaccines first came out, there was a dramatic rise. And then it more than doubled again in 2022 and going up. Now, you would think that having these wonderful, magical vaccines would be stopping people from dying of COVID. Well, we've learned two things. The vaccines do not stop you from getting or spreading COVID, so they have no absolute worth at all. And the big fat lie we've exposed before that, well, it lowered your chances of dying in the hospital, was also a lie. The virus had mutated by that time to be more contagious, but far less deadly. And so not taking the vaccine, your odds were just as good if you really study it. Researchers in Germany discovered something. The more you take the vaccine, the higher your chances are of, shall we say, an unexplained excessive death. You know, in other words, you're not supposed to be dying at this age or in that cohort, but they are. Scientists had expected to see kind of a negative correlation between the jab and excess deaths. In other words, they should have been going down. And they did briefly. But it seems those that come back for jab 3, 8, and 9 or whatever, their odds of dying keep increasing exponentially. And they're still getting COVID. This is coming out of Germany. Other European nations are beginning to, shall we say, ask some poignant questions. And yet here in the United States, our intellectually bankrupt CDC keeps pushing this garbage that does nothing. By the way, there's another thing that happened with those that are jabbed. The incident rate of stillbirths is dramatically increased in vaccinated women compared to unvaccinated. Do you think this could possibly be, as some claim it is, a bioweapon? I mean, in many places in the world, we have moved into what is called negative population growth. The only way the population grows in the United States is importing people from other parts of the globe, illegally across the border. This discovery is important for a number of scientific reasons, and beyond the undeniable horror of the jabs causing excess infant deaths, it also provided an independent third variable consistent with and corroborating other excess deaths findings. In other words, because the scientists could link two different deadly outcomes to the jab rates, the likelihood of any other possibility becomes increasingly tiny, if virtually gone. The truth is beginning to leak out. And part of me has to ask the question, why? Why is it being allowed to leak out slowly now? It's, you know, drip, drip, drip. But eventually it's going to flood, flood, flood. You can't hold back this dam of water much longer before it breaks like an earthen dam. And then there's some political things happening on the globe that give me some encouragement. And that'll be what I'll be talking about in just a little bit. I'm going to, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, the what happened this past Thursday. And I'm thinking there's a bunch of other stuff that seems to be just dropping out of the sky in front of us. And the media is suddenly getting on board and sharing the same stories. And I've got a theory. You may not agree with it, but I have a theory. And I want you to hear it in just a few minutes. Now, I've got a very special announcement to make, and then I want to talk about the direction of this radio program and everything. This is just a lot of my heart and my mind. So where do I begin? Come the end of August will be the fourth anniversary of Truth to Ponder. 4 years. We have done a new program every day, including holidays, for 4 years. And some people say, well, gee, it's not that hard to do a show like yours. It's only an hour. What does it take you, like an hour and 10 minutes? No, not hardly. Production time, recording time, distribution time, putting it up in podcast sites, multiple sites, sending it off to the radio stations, putting it where it can be found on the website. There's a tremendous amount of work that goes on behind the scenes at Truth to Ponder. And then, you know, for every hour I'm recording, you can pretty much realize it takes me about 2 hours in getting it all together, stopping, and then, you know, having to take care of edits and things you just do in producing a radio program like this to get from story to story. We only have, for the most part, one break. And so it's hard for me to keep up with it all. And the other part that you may not understand is how much time it takes for me to do the research to compile this radio program. There's anywhere from 2 to 3 hours involved on top of everything else in just the research for a one-hour program. And even though I get help from Jim Calhoun from time to time for a half hour, there's still a lot of work to be done. We are at a point. I'll turn 70 in October. I'm also diligently trying to grow this small church in Southwest Virginia. And not only do I have this small church that needs to grow, we were granted a construction permit from the Federal Communications Commission to build a small FM radio station to serve the immediate area, you know, 7 miles or so, out from the church, which I believe is going to be a very viable and vital ministry for the continued success and growth of Trinity Chapel. We also have family responsibilities, and I don't want to get into too much of this now. Maybe next week I can talk more about it more freely. We have some major, just incredible family things that need to be cared for by my wife and I, particularly down with family in Florida. And we are having to make a trip. This was unplanned. We decided just at the end of last week that we would be making a trip to Florida a week from yesterday. In other words, Monday the 8th, my wife and I will be driving from Virginia. It's going to be an overnight trip. And with the stops that I have to make because of my bladder cancer, it can tend to take longer. We'll make our trip down to Florida. While we are there, we have unbelievable, just incredible things we have to take care of for the family. We also need to take care of some things with our home down there that have been neglected. I promised to do a small repair over at WRMI that I wanted to help them with while I'm there in the area. And I do get the opportunity to preach at one of my friends' churches while we're there. So we'll be there about a little over 2 weeks. And I'm praying that I will have the strength and stamina to do everything that needs to be done. It is hard to travel and work in the heat and still try to produce this radio program in the way that it's been done for the past almost 4 years. And I will be honest, it's wearing me out. And I had come to the point, my wife and I were talking about this for the last several months on and off. I would say, you know, I just never have time for the church. I don't, and now I got to build this radio station. We never get a chance to visit family. What really got me thinking, as you know, about 2 weeks ago, my wife and I had to make a trip to South Carolina where I conducted a funeral for somebody in their early 40s. And it makes you ever aware that you got to make the best use of the time that God gives you. And have I been a good steward of the time in producing this radio program in the way that I'm doing it? And it dawns on me that this radio program has been taking a lot more time than it used to. And once again, I've got to remember, it's a combination of age. I'll turn 70 this year. And the health matters that I'm dealing with. By the way, when we get back from Florida, I begin 6 more weeks of immunotherapy, which kind of take a day and a half out of my life away again. You know, doing the therapy, and then it's a day of recoup. So, and then still trying to do all that I'm doing. It's come to the point. Can I continue doing this? And I remember telling my wife, we got back from that quick trip, and then I had church, and that Sunday afternoon, I was so exhausted. And then I got up Monday to start producing radio programs, and it was just so difficult to do. I mean, really, it was hard. And I told my wife, I said, you know, something's got to give. Either I've got to get rid of I got to give up the church, which I don't feel I can do at all. Not build the radio station, well, that'd be foolish. Not take care of our family's needs, well, that'd be something that is just not, I can't do that either. And so I considered one of two options. Option number one, I could discontinue the radio program. That was the first option that I considered, you know, actually saying, you know, the time has come, I'm going to finish out the 4 years and move on, or maybe, I don't know, just, but even with everything coming on me, I can't go that much longer the way it was going. Another option was maybe I could just make it a once a week program that airs multiple times on multiple stations, maybe even on an oddball weekday. That was one possibility, just do one program per week, like the old weekend show that was the precursor to this one. And then another option popped into view, and I've been thinking about this since it first came to my mind, and I bounced it off a handful of people that I truly trust. I trust their judgment, their wisdom, and their insight. And so the program will continue, but the program is going to be shortened from 1 hour to a half hour. And part of one of the programs per week, Jim Calhoun will help out. Now, you're going to say, well, that's just a half hour, Bob. No, it's not. It's a lot more than a half hour. I get a couple of hours a day back in research time that I was putting in for doing an hour program. I save maybe another 20 to 30 minutes in production time, and another 10 or 15 minutes in distribution time because of the way things will change. In other words, by switching from 1 hour, from your perspective, to a half hour, I get back 2 or 3 hours each day that I desperately need. And so we have made the decision, and I've informed the radio stations, and they're ready to accommodate beginning this coming Monday, the 8th of July. We will switch to a half-hour format. As far as I know, at WRMI, the program will start at the same time. It'll just end earlier. as far as WTWW, there could be a couple of minor changes there to actually air it twice over a two-hour period with a program in between. And so that'll be just a minor change there. And the same on the weekend. So there's a lot in the background, but it had to be done. I know someone would say, Bob, can you please stay with... No, I can't stay with the hour. I don't have the time, the stamina, or the health to do it anymore. I don't. And number two, the support has not been anywhere near what it used to be. And so I have to consider the income. I have to consider my health and the time. And is the program truly worth it to you? Now's a good chance for you to let me know what you think. Would you let me know? I know some of you may be disappointed, but I'm sorry. I can't back off this decision. And I just, there's only so much of me to go around. There is no staff here. It's just me. And a lot of people don't understand that I may sit down in my office at, 8 o'clock or 8:30 in the morning. It may be one or two before I'm done with the program, with the way things are going. And so I've got to get some of that time back, or my church suffers, or the radio station doesn't get built, or my family needs are neglected, which is not the right thing to do. But there's still an airtime bill, not as much, and it still needs to be paid. So, let me know your thoughts. You can go to the website, truth2ponder.com, truth, the numeral or number2ponder.com. There you can find all the contact information, how to get a hold of me. I'm the only one that sees all the correspondence, nobody else. Remember, it's a one-man operation. So you can use the website. If you prefer, you can send me a direct email, bob@truth2ponder.com, bob@truth2ponder.com. Once again, it comes directly to me. From the website, you can find out how to hear the program, and that'll change over the weekend. There'll be some minor adjustments there on the schedule. And how to hear it as a podcast. It's a podcast. It doesn't matter the length, because that's up to what I want to do anyway. And to support us, you can use Give, Send, Go from the website. There's a tab for support, and you can use Give, Send, Go. If you need to use PayPal, just send me an email and I'll send you all the information you need. Or if you prefer, you can send a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. That zip code again, 24319. Make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The People on the Road. Coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is Jonathan Kahn, the nice Jewish boy, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Messiah walked down what is called now Palm Sunday Road, then the Via Dolorosa. The disciples walked down Emmaus Road. Philip was on the road to Gaza. Paul, the Damascus Road, and then Straight Street. The first believers weren't called Protestant or Catholic. They were called the Way, or in Hebrew, Haderech, the street. It means the path. It means the road. See, God's people aren't so much about places. They're about roads, streets, ways. What's the difference between a place and a way? Well, a place has set dimensions. A road just goes on and on. A place is closed in with borders, but a way is open-ended, doesn't end. If you're born again, you are no longer simply someone dwelling on earth. You're a pilgrim, a child of Abraham. You are traveling, walking. It's not about the situation you're in. It's not about the place. You're not about place anymore. You're about the way. Everything else is just scenery. Your problems, your ups and downs, valleys, mountains. That's not it. That's what you go through. Don't get caught up in your situation. Don't get caught up in the place, in the circumstance. You are a person of the way. That's somebody who's always moving forward, pressing through, moving on, growing, increasing, going farther. You're of the way. And that means you can't stop or else you'll be in the way. And that's why it never works for a believer to stop growing. So keep growing, keep pressing on. As Paul said, this I do, I press on. Get moving down the road because you weren't called to stay in the middle. You're called of the derech, the way, the path, the road of Messiah on which you've been called to walk. You are of the way. Want more? Ask for The Way on CD. Now, the free gift for you. What if you discover the place where the lost Ark of the Covenant was? Well, newly revealed, awesome discovery, the mystery of the temple doors. You'll love it. It's our free gift to you. And Sapphire's daily spiritual vitamins to revitalize your walk. We're all that. How do you get it? Easy. Just remember Jesus's real name, Yeshua, and you dial it. That's it. So to receive your free gifts, just call now 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now I invite you to bless the people who brought you salvation, the Jewish people. They gave it to you. I invite you to join it, join to bring it back to them, to bless those who blessed them. And you are going to be blessed. You're blessing Messiah's people. He's guaranteed to bless you. How? Just write to or call 1-800-YESHUA-1. And that's 1-800-YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the Nice Jewish Boy, box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, move on the way, my friend. Shalom. Peace be to you and Messiah HaDerech, the way.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Now, maybe on Thursday, after I've had more time than I've had to think about the Supreme Court ruling on immunity here in the United States, I'll give you my thoughts. The ruling is pretty much what I would have expected. It didn't rule specifically for or against what Jack Smith is trying to get, but it does send it down to a lower court. And then it has to be adjudicated there, then on to another appellate court before it gets... In other words, it's not going to be adjudicated this year. And which is pretty much what most people thought. And only time will tell where all this leads going forward. But I'll do some more research. I just don't want to jump into it so quickly. I want to let all the legal analysts that are better at law than I am make their persuasive cases. I was looking the other day, and I have it in front of me right now, the BBC, the British Babbling Corporation, or Broadcasting, Babbling Broadcasting, they tend to be a little bit to the left. And what I'm trying to point out to you real quick is there's a change occurring globally. And I've got a theory that I'll be sharing with you in just a couple of minutes of why I think it is. You look at the BBC headlines, you know, allies defend Biden as polls suggest growing age is a concern, or Biden assures donors he can still win the election. Then you read other stories. Over the weekend, the New York Times was encouraging, and really since last Friday, Joe Biden should consider getting out of the race. There's been a lot of angst and a lot of people saying a lot of things. And for a moment, many people thought that Joe's going to go. But I'm not so certain. I want you to think about a couple of things, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. Number one, if Joe was to decide to step aside now, who would be the person leading the ticket? Potentially Kamala Harris. And she's less popular than, a stub toe. Who else would be in the running? And believe it or not, if you look at some of the polls that are out there, Joe Biden has got a miserable polling number right now. No, and it got worse. But people, believe it or not, like Gavin Newsom, their numbers are worse. I kid you not. And then you got a couple of others that would love to jump in, or three others that come to mind real quick. You know, Hillary Clinton is always going to be the perpetual wanting to be the president, because she still thinks she is, since 2008. It was stolen from her then by Obama, then stolen by the Russians. You know the whole story. I'm not going to go there. But you got Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. You know, the just lockdown Karen of Michigan during COVID. You couldn't buy gardening supplies at the Home Depot because of COVID, but you could buy bleach and other stuff, but you couldn't buy gardening supplies. Makes no sense. She went corona crazy. And how she got reelected just shows that people just give up, I think, at times in voting. But I cannot imagine in the United States a screeching Karen like Whitmer, a white woman to boot, being preferred over Kamala Harris. Then a lot of people talk about Michelle Obama. She has no interest, no love lost with the Biden family for a number of reasons. And honestly, I think that's just pure wishful thinking on some people's part. Then you got, you know, Mr. Hairdo himself, Gavin Newsom, whose popularity is, once again, it's down there with, you know, a never-ending toothache or something. So his poll numbers stink. Gretchen Whitmer's stinks, and she's the wrong everything. And so is Gavin Newsom when they're trying to be the kind of party they're trying to claim to be. You can't go past Kamala Harris. And so I noticed that after all the angst about how bad Biden was, which kind of sets the mindset for the American people that Biden cannot win, all of a sudden, the same media that wanted him to go is beginning to backtrack and quietly say, well, maybe he should run. Maybe it'll be okay. You know, maybe we can get through a couple of years and, you know, in other words, we're staying with the status quo. The truth is, Biden has all the pledged delegates that will have to vote for him at the convention. Everything is in Biden's hands, as long as he's alive. And I don't put that possibility out of the realm of what the CIA's been known to do internationally. I'm just saying. He will be the nominee. And he will look even worse come the next debate in September. And barring any massive cheating apparatus, Donald Trump will become the 47th president of the United States. And the deep state will not be too upset about it. And you're saying, now that doesn't make any sense, Bob. Oh, yes, it does. Number one, here's some other things you got to remember. Generation X is going to be pivotal in this election. Gen X. They were, well, in 2008, they were between 18 and 30 years of age. Now they're 34 to 46 years of age. And they are taking on the brunt of Bidenomics. They voted for Obama, this generation, by 33 points. Back in 2008 and 12. 33 points. But now they are Trump plus 5. In other words, they have shifted about 38 points as a group for Trump because of the bad economy. Now, a quick side story here, and I'm going to make this really quick. The summer Davos soiree in China concluded. And they want 100% carbon tax. They want to have a global water tax. They just want a tax and tax. And they want you to eat the bugs and all that goes with it. And people are beginning to push back. Look what's happening globally in France. Macron is going down. Any day, the man-child of Canada, Justin Trudeau, who dared cut off the money to truckers and chases after people that complain about his COVID responses or anything else, or transgenderism, and any other stupid thing that he happens to be pushing. His popularity is sinking rapidly. It's like the Titanic hit the iceberg. And the iceberg is named reality for many people. And there's a reality in the back of my mind. I want you to think about this and think carefully with me. There's a reason the deep state will allow all the conservatives to win. Let me say it again. The deep state and the globalists are ready to allow the conservatives to win for a season, and here's why. They've done a lot of their damage. And a lot of what they've done, they've set some real bad economic time bombs that are getting ready to go off. You don't want Biden in the White House when that happens. You just don't. You don't want Justin Trudeau as prime minister. You don't want Macron leading France when all this comes down. All of the COVID pushing, all of the incredible debt that the United States faces is a ticking time bomb. And at any point, this will be a cosmic shift and a great reset, so to speak, will happen. Do you want your leftist leaders in charge when everything collapses? Of course not. You want those that you despise, Donald Trump. You want them, Le Pen, you want them. And the guy's name in Canada suddenly just evaporated out of my mind. It'll come back. Making a great case. So all of a sudden, the conservatives get in. And then everything collapses. And then, because political memories are so short, within 2 years or 4 years, everybody will want the left back in charge when things were stable. See, because of our messing around in the United States globally and poking the Russian bear needlessly, I agree with Donald Trump. The war in Ukraine never would have been, and a lot of what is being said by Biden is a bunch of malarkey. It's all a big fat lie. Ukraine has only been a nation since 1992, a very corrupt nation, a money-laundering nation. The middle part of the country sided with the Nazis in World War II. The western part was pretty much part of Czechoslovakia or Poland or other nations. And the eastern part was always Russia. And it's full of Russians. Remember, Nikita Khrushchev came from Ukraine, the leader of the Soviet Union. And the Nazis in the central part of the country have been at war with the Russians in the east for ages and have been killing them. And Putin said, stop it. And then you had the idiot saying, let's get Ukraine to be a part of NATO. And then we can put our bombs and missiles right on the Russian border. Well, those were two things that were non-starters for Putin. And he warned for over a year, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. They did it. And so he followed through. It's obvious that Ukraine cannot win no matter how many billions of dollars we ship over there. And Americans are not going to go with troops. And I think the Europeans have already made it clear with what's happening in elections in Europe. They're not doing it either. And Russia, their retaliation against the world for poking the bear, lying about Russian collusion. I mean, the Democrats have been poking Putin as a pinata for years. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and many, many other nations are beginning to say, you know something? We don't need the United States currency anymore for petrodollars or international trade. We don't want your stinking dollars no more. That used to be backed by gold and something of value. Now it's the good faith and credit of the United States. Look at your dollar bill. That's what it says. Our credit rating stinks. We are in debt. We have no good faith. We lie to nations. We actually overturn and overthrow governments, like in Ukraine. We did that in 2014. The CIA and Obama did it then. We've done it globally, and the world has had enough. They're fed up with the United States. They're fed up that anytime we don't like something they do, we, because of our dollar, impose sanctions on nations. Well, Putin's not a stupid guy. Maybe Biden is. Maybe the deep state is. Maybe some of these other clowns that, you know, that have reprobate minds, you know, transgender fools and gay people running around the White House that can't really think clearly. Putin has put together a very powerful force of nations that can say, we're not using your dollar anymore. You can't use it for buying oil. And now we're dependent on foreign oil because we stopped drilling after Biden got in. The United States dollar could collapse. I mean, it really could, and it probably will. If Trump gets elected, and it's not going to be Trump doing it, if Macron loses to Le Pen, if Justin Trudeau is replaced by someone like Pierre Poilievre in Canada, if Joe Biden goes gently to the nursing home and Trump takes over, and you see this repeating all over the globe, it wasn't so much a dynamic grassroots movement that removed these people. It is what I said on another program. In the case of Joe Biden, last Thursday was the beginning of the controlled demolition of Joe Biden. And they can complete the process by pushing all the right buttons and take him down and allow conservatives to win. And that's why I was saying at the beginning of the program today, this is what gives us a brief time of opportunity, because the rug's going to get pulled out. It's going to be Lucy holding the football and Charlie Brown running down the field. And just when we think we're going to get the world fixed and put back together again, it's not going to happen. But for Christians, for those that are preparing, for those that understand the book of Revelation, this could be a time of opportunity. A big time of opportunity. And a lot of it, look, I do a radio program, and it takes a lot of my time. But I also have a small church, and I have other things that need to be done in preparing for what's going to happen. And I can still prepare you in doing this radio program, but I can also prepare the local area that God has entrusted me with and a small congregation. And I believe thousands of other small churches and congregations need to begin to heed the signs of around us. Peace, peace, and sudden destruction. We have an opportunity. And I'm afraid many churches will not use it. They'll be too busy focused on their internals. A lot of churches, as I've said, are totally apostate. I mean, thoroughly too far gone. How do you deal with that going forward? The true church is a small remnant, and I'm just afraid that some of them don't thoroughly understand what they're being called to do, and they're going to think that, oh, we now have conservatives in the White House and in the House, and we even got the Senate back. That is very possible, and big changes could be coming to Canada any minute, or Europe. Even the folks in Germany are getting a little bit upset about all this. And people are losing interest in Ukraine, and the Russian bear has put together a very powerful alliance, including China and India. They don't care about their carbon footprint, trust me. They make us care about ours, so to our own self-destruction. Do you see the stage that is being set up? Don't think that we are thoroughly winning. We're going to win for a season, and then it's going to be all over again. Look how fast Trump got in, and Trump was taken down by COVID. The whole world was taken down by COVID. And then the world went extreme left for quite a while, pushed as hard as they could, and now they're coming up against some brick walls and bricks, you know, B-R-I-C-C-S. You know, they're coming up to time to regroup. So as good little demons, they're going to hide under the rock for a while and let the world explode with the conservatives in charge, and then they're going to come back to try to save it, or at least make you think they are. As I said earlier in the program, if you're just tuning in, beginning this coming Monday, this program, because of all what's going on in my life with health, church, a radio station to build, very critical family matters and travel required, it's getting almost impossible to do a one-hour program every day. And I really thought about just stopping the program soon, or maybe going to once a week. But after prayerful consideration, we're just going to change it from a one-hour program to a half hour. And that gives me back, believe it or not, about 2 hours plus a day or more. And you may not understand that, but if you produce a radio program like this, you would. So beginning Monday, we become a half-hour program. And I hope that you'll still support it and still listen. I'll just have to condense and be more into the big stories that need to be told, but most important, the good news that needs to be shared of Jesus Christ. I told you earlier that I was getting tired of being your newsman. We'll look at some news stories, but it's going to be more in the light of God's Word than anything else. We are coming into a very unprecedented time and unprecedented opportunity. We're watching how the deep state is manipulating everything, orchestrating, and even confusing conservative media that just believe everything they're being told. Yeah, we saw that. We saw how bad it is. Well, everybody on the other side already knew how bad it was, but they just have been told, you know, we need a little respite and Joe's got to go. And all the left-wing media did their job as they were told to do, and they said what they had to be said, and here we are today. I hope that this change in the format of the program starting next week will not be a problem. Let me know what you think. I really have no choice. It was either I discontinue the program or do it once a week. I can't do any more. And this is almost more than I really have the time to do, but we're going to try this. If you believe in our mission and ministry, we really need to hear from you to stay on shortwave radio. Yeah, the price goes down a little bit, but not much. It's not cut in half, trust me. It cuts my time by more than half, which is a lot. But we'll try to give you good content in the time that we will use. And we remain as a podcast. If you believe in our mission and ministry, I need to hear from you. You can contact us at truth2ponder.com. You can go to the website. You can support us from there using Give, Send, Go. truth2ponder.com. You can write me, share your thoughts with me from there, or send me an email, bob@truth2ponder.com. bob@truth2ponder.com. I'm the only one that reads the mail. There is no staff at Truth to Ponder. It's just me. With a little help from a distant friend, Jim Calhoun. It's just me. So if you want to keep us on the air, you can also make a check payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. That's 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, zip code 24319. And we will see you again tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.